times the world seems like a hopeless place. A perfect picture of a hopeless case. Cause somehow every now and then the whole world just comes crashing.
Welcome to Hope is Alive. Yes, hope is alive in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said so. Jesus said in Luke, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Did you hear that? The spirits are subject to you, and you've been given all power over them. Now in Matthew 10, he was speaking to his disciples, and he said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you received, freely give. And then in Mark, he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to the whole creation. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Join us as we celebrate these verses given to us in God's holy word. Tonight we have a live interview with Mr. Everett Cox of Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City. We'll hear some more of his story and give you a chance to call in and ask questions concerning deliverance and setting the captives free. If you have a question about the issue of demons or evil spirits, then this is the time to call and ask. Join us because hope is alive in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Welcome to Hope is Alive, and good evening, Brother Ralph.
Good evening, Richard.
And good evening, Pastor Cox.
Good evening, Brother Richard, Brother Ralph. Blessings from Oklahoma.
And from here, and looking forward to a good broadcast, and Ralph, when our caller calls, we'll sure let you know.
I appreciate that, sir. Thank you. And good evening, and welcome everyone to Hope is Alive, the show about testimony, the show about testimony of those who have been set free, gone through the process of deliverance, and the wonderful works that the Lord did for them, all performed by simple Christians. Christians were given power, power and authority. If you have any questions about deliverance, you can go to deliveranceusa.com. That website has just about everything that you need to know about deliverance, testimonies, training, self-deliverance, prayers, many, many tools. You can go to that website, or you can get the book that Pastor Cox has wrote, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus. You can obtain that by calling Richard at the office, 307-745-5. I'm sorry, I'm giving the wrong number, 307-742-7582. And Pastor, it's good to be back. We had a few weeks off for breaks, and I'm a little rejuvenated and excited to talk about Branson. How have you been?
Well, I'm blessed, and I know you are too, and it seems like it's been a long time.
It does seem like it's been a long time. But, you know, we had a great Branson gathering. It was a wonderful Holy Spirit-filled event. Got to see many brothers and sisters we haven't seen in a year, or almost 2 years, because we took a year off. But it was good to get back with the body. And we, excuse me, hang on a second. Put it on mute so I can clear my throat. We had a wonderful time of prayer, fellowship, and was able to get a total of 9 deliverances performed. I think I did 3 or 4 of them myself. It's hard to remember how many I did. The men came ready in season, out of season, perform and help. We had some that came from further ministry that still had some issues that seemed to be bothering them. But there was some that had never had ministry, had been tuning into the radio broadcast. One of those gentlemen will be calling in here in a little bit. And I sensed the Holy Spirit has a good testimony, that he has a good testimony to give. But it was just a wonderful, wonderful time. Some of them were very typical deliverances. I was able to get the head demon up on a few. Just a little bit of a little bit of coughing, a little bit of yawning. We did have some heavy manifestations with one brother in Christ. As he said, he goes, "Well, I guess I had a lot of baggage to get rid of." that was a good testimony to hear. But I had a wonderful testimony. I was working with a sister in Christ and did some inner healing with her. When I was asked if I would do some further ministry with her, I said yes. I asked the Lord how to guide me on this, and the Lord just kept telling me, healing. She needs inner healing. So we worked on that, and that inner healing, I didn't quite understand the process of it when I first met Pastor Cox, and didn't quite understand how to go about doing it. But now that I got a grasp on it, that is such a marvelous tool. It really helps close the doors, but most of all, it helps heal the trauma that was in someone's life. And the way that I envision it and explain it to people is that our Lord is the Alpha and Omega. He does not exist in the same timeline that we do. He knows the beginning and the end. He knew us the day we were formed. He knows the day of our death. So he's always there. He does not exist in the linear timeline that we do, and we perceive time. So you can take the Lord, you can take the person back to a point where there's trauma in their life, and have the Lord show them and work with them and show them truths, heal that trauma at that point. And when that point, that trauma is healed, it carries on through the time we are today. And this one sister in Christ, she'd lost a couple of children to some miscarriages. And it was just a wonderful testimony. And she was letting it out. And she was kind of blaming some herself a little bit, blaming, do the typical thing, always blame ourselves. And I gave her a testimony that was given to me years ago when we were having our daughter was being born. We were with our midwife, and my daughter took forever to come out. My daughter's got one speed. It was from the day she was born till now. She has one speed. She'll take care of anything I ask her to do, but she's got one speed. Takes her time, gets it done. But the midwife, she was a Christian lady, and she was talking about some of the things she had done, seen, and witnessed to us. And one of them was the death of a baby. And she'd worked with this family. I can't remember exactly how many children she had delivered for them. It was quite a few. It seemed like there was about 10 or 11. And this was she had this foreboding feeling during the whole pregnancy, and she said it was really neat because the whole family would be there, the little children would cheer on, "Come on, Mama, come on, you can do it," and this and that. But as the baby was being born, she could immediately see that it had a major, major birth defect. I do not remember what it was, but she said these babies very rarely live, and if they do live, it's not very long at all. The baby was born without a skull. She saw it coming, and she said it was so great because the family was encouraging her. I mean, here she is, she's given the birth, and she knows this baby's not going to live, and the family was encouraging her, and the baby was born not breathing. And she said the family prayed, they laid hands on the baby, and they said, as soon as they said, "In Jesus' name, breathe," the baby came back to life, and they got to spend 6 wonderful hours with the baby before it passed away. And she said after everybody, the baby had passed, they had laid off in the squatting cloth, and the family was all around, crying and mourning. One of the little children walked up to her, and I can't remember the little girl's name, but I'm just going to call her Sarah, and said, "I don't know why, Sarah, everybody's crying. You're never going to get a spanking. You're never going to have to go to bed early. You're never going to have to eat something you don't want to. And most of all, you get to go play with Jesus." And that's always stuck with me about how to perceive something, especially with the loss of a child. And that came to my mind when I was talking with this sister in Christ. So I was able to ask the Lord to take her back. She did not know the sex of one of the children, but she did know that she had a daughter because she did get to hold that daughter, even though it was stillborn. And I said, well, think of that blessing there. You get to hold your child. And I asked the Lord to heal her, to show her truth and speak to things about her. And she was real quiet. And then she started smiling, and tears came down in her eyes. And she said, when she opened them, I said, well, what did the Lord show you? And she just had complete joy on her face, and she said, I saw a little blonde-haired girl and a little blonde-haired boy playing with Jesus. And she said, I had a little boy. I would have had a little boy. And so, I mean, that was just such a wonderful thing. I wanted to share that testimony. That is just wonderful, empowering. Of how the Lord can heal us in our trauma in that life. And so that was definitely one testimony I wanted to give out. Another testimony on the Branson was, I was getting some men together for some private prayer time, and I was trying to talk to one man who was talking to another person I didn't know, and I didn't want to be kind of rude and say, well, can you want to come down, and you don't. But the Lord said, go up and talk to that gentleman. So I went up there, and I invited them both down. And we would happen to be walking to the room that we were going to. And as we were walking, I started talking a little bit about Hope is Alive, if you'd listen to it. And he said, yeah. And the whole time, the Lord's just saying, keep asking these questions, keep asking these questions. And I finally looked at him, and I said, do you want ministry? And he said, yeah, I do believe I want some. And I said, okay, let's go. And we immediately went into ministry. I mean, there wasn't any question, any hesitation on it. He wanted ministry. We got ministry into him. It was a typical deliverance session. I was able to get the head demon up. He was able to hear it very clearly. And it was just, basic yawning, little coughing, not too much manifestations. He seemed to receive it really, really well. And I didn't realize this, that it was either that night or the next night, he'd gotten baptized. He had been a Christian for many years, or been a believer in Christ, and never been baptized, because I didn't know that until they asked everybody to come up Sunday. Would everybody come up that was baptized this weekend? And he walked up with them. So I just praised God. Here's a man that sealed the deal of salvation, received the gift of the Holy Spirit. We got him through deliverance. And at night, we asked him if he wanted to, if we wanted to minister the baptism of the Holy Spirit to him. And, of course, he's so typical of our ministry, he wants to overthink everything. Very typical with people in our ministry. It was very typical with me. We try to overthink everything. And I said, well, we laid it upon him when he asked the evidence of speaking in tongues, and no tongue came. And he says, well, I want it. I just think maybe I'm not ready or something like that. I can't remember how he worded it. But anyway, I said, well, I'm walking in faith that you asked it, you asked the Lord from it, men laid hands upon you, and that you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, your gift may not be tongues. We don't know. It may be something else. But you received it. And he said, okay. Well, the next morning, he'd come down for breakfast, and we were talking. He says, I went home, I went back to my motel room, and I was singing, and I didn't realize it. As I was singing in tongues.
Glory. Praise God.
So that was awesome. A neat testimony. That was a neat testimony. What was another one I had? I worked with another lady. Actually, worked with three ladies that weekend. And all three of them, the Lord told me, just inner healing, inner healing, inner healing. And one of the ladies, she was a workaholic, and she had a real problem with sweets, especially chocolate. And and kind of talking with her, I said, well, we all kind of got a little bit sweet tooth. And she goes, no, it's like an absolute craving. I can't get over it. Well, I did that inner healing, and I asked Jesus to take her back to the earliest memory of when the sweets came. And she was able to zoom in at a time in her childhood, and that her mama would always show affection by handing out some candy. And we were able to see that was where the craving came in. She was associating sweets with the love of her mom, and we were able to asked Jesus to heal her of that, but let her realize that her mama did love her, that her mama did care for her, and that the sweets was a treat, but that wasn't the only way she showed her love. And the Lord spoke to her. I mean, I sat there for the longest time waiting for her to, you know, as the Lord was speaking to her, her eyes were closed, she was smiling, and the Lord was speaking to her and speaking truth about her relationship with her mama. Then I was able to, with working so hard, when I mean working hard, this woman was a hard worker. She labored her six, and on her day of her Sabbath and rest, she was trying to complete over in a month, each month, a 400-page Bible study. And I said, "Sister," I said, "that's not resting." I said, "It's one thing to worship and praise and rest the Lord." I said, "But getting 400 pages in a week's time in 4 days, that's not very much rest. You need to allow yourself some time for the week on that." But I was able to bring her back to a time in her life, and the Lord showed her that the only time she seemed to ever get any affection from her dad is when she did a good job working. So she would work really, really hard to get that affection from her dad. So I was able to take the Holy Spirit, take her back to that time, show her that Jesus was with her, show her that her daddy always loved her, and that he was doing the best he could. And the Lord talked to her on that, and she, you know, you can see the Lord talking to her again, because she was really smiling, really, really smiling. And then on the third lady within her healing, you know, a typical thing, the Lord would lie to her about certain relationships, not the Lord, I'm sorry, demonic spirits would lie to her about certain relationships, lie to her about how her husband really was. And as I got her to the Holy Spirit to reveal things to her, I was sitting there. And I know that Pastor Cox has taught, sometimes just when the Lord's working on him, you have to be patient. And I kept looking up there, and like 5 minutes had passed by. I had a clock by, and I kept looking up there, and I finally said, "So-and-so, is the Lord talking to you?" Because she was really, really quiet. In fact, I was thinking maybe she fell asleep on me because it had been such a long week. and she just smiles and said, "I wish you could see what he's showing me."
Oh, wow.
Just some testimony on inner healing. If you don't understand the inner healing, just get a hold of us somehow, or get us, you know, information, and we'll talk to you about it. I did talk a little bit about the brothers in Christ that worked with our the man that's going to be giving his testimony here in a little bit about the inner healing. They had not got the inner, they had not did the inner healing. They were thinking he did that after the full deliverance was over. And I think that might have been maybe some of the reasons they had the heavy manifestations. This was not a typical deliverance, but it was mm-hmm. with a lot of fire. A lot of trauma.
Those traumas are a door.
And they are.
That's a door that we need to get closed. And so many times demons have actually come in at the time of those events and memories or traumas. They had entry through, and the feelings that the person detects are often the very names of the demons that came in at that time. So when you do the inner healing and Jesus takes the feelings, the bad feelings, that pulls the rug out from under the demons. So they're easy. Sometimes they'll actually leave at that point, and if they haven't left, then they'll leave easily in the deliverance part.
Yes. And so I did apologize to him on that. I said, you know, these men are, these men just didn't understand it, but they still acted in their authority and was still able to get things cast out. And they did their work. I was very proud of them for what they did. And one of them's listening in right now. I told him if anything comes to mind to let me know through a text, and I'll bring it up when Patrick gives his, when he gives his testimony. But something I noticed with several people as I gave them the problem list, and I don't know if you've had this this experience too, Pastor Cox, but as they were filling out the list, they seemed like they needed to justify everything. And I finally told several of them, I said, "Don't overthink it. Don't overthink it." I said, "It's there's no judgment here." And I'd point on a list. I said, "Okay,
sure.
Let's say you've had this sin in your life," and then I pointed to another one, and I pointed to another one. I said, "You show me which one of these is greater in the eyes of our Lord than the other." I mean, sin is transgression, and we've all fallen short. We've all sinned, and there's no reason to try to justify it. If it's been a problem in your life, deal with it now. Because if you don't deal with it now, it's going to deal with you later. And
there's even the generational door. You know,
there's
a certain number of spirits come through, and certainly they're not responsible for those.
No,
come through at birth.
No, they're not. And so. It seemed to be actually everybody that circled that I was with did that. And I haven't been around a lot of people that were circling their list as much as I was. Usually I hand it to them and let them be alone while they're doing it. But, you know, it's just something to think about out there. If you are going to have deliverance, don't worry about what's circled. Just circle it. You don't need to justify. You don't need to do anything. If it's a problem in your life or has been a problem, circle it, because if you don't, if you don't deal with it now, you'll deal with it later. And
okay.
I do apologize.
That's right.
Yeah. And I want to apologize. Go ahead.
I usually tell people that what we run into is most people would circle a minimum of 36, which turn out so often to be the names of the spirits. So, you know, it's everybody's under attack, and if you're a Christian, you're especially under attack.
That's right, you are. And I just, you know, I want to apologize to anybody out there if I've ever done anything that would make you feel that I would judge you for that. That's what I told most of them. So look, I'm not here, and if I've ever done anything that would make you think that I judge you, I do apologize. But I'm not here for that anymore. I'm not here for judging. I'm here to help set you free. If I tried to justify everything I circled on the list, I would have spent several hours. we've all got some baggage. We've all done some pretty rotten things in our lives.
Amen.
And nothing I've done is any worse than what someone else has done. And the Lord forgives. And not only does He forgive, He forgets. The only person that brings it up is you or the enemy. Once you confess the sin and put it before the Lord, He forgets it, and the only one that brings it up is your.
Yes, I love that. Praise God.
And so it was just a fantastic weekend. Got to set some people free, and hopefully those people, I've been talking with them. Hopefully they will call in and give their testimony. Some of them are still a little nervous, and they're saying things like, "Well, I don't think mine would be very good," or maybe you can find someone that's better. And I'm just trying to encourage him and say, look, the Lord wants you to give your testimony. The Lord set you free. He used Christians like you and me and the other men that worked with you. And he wants your testimony. Your testimony gives glory to Him. He did work in your life, and He gave glory. He gives glory to Jesus. And that's what we want.
And they're overcomers.
They are overcomers.
By giving their testimony.
They are. By the blood of the Lamb, the word of testimony. Yep, I gave that scripture out to a sister in Christ tonight, and hopefully she will. If you're listening, I do hope that you prayerfully consider, because I think you have a good testimony to give. But, Pastor, we have Patrick. Patrick, how you doing?
Hey, brother. Doing okay.
Well, you found your phone, I guess.
Yeah. Yes, I did.
Hi, Patrick.
Hey, Pastor Cox.
Great to have you on the show.
And great to be here.
Patrick, have you ever met Pastor Cox?
Yes, I have, down in Branson in 2016.
I thought you said you'd been there. Okay. Well, Patrick, if you would, I would like you to, we're just going to kind of let you give as the Lord leaves, but specifically I want you to, you know, talk about how long you've been with Scriptures for America, when you're baptized, born again, and wherever the Lord leads you, and as things come to my mind or come to Pastor Cox's mind, we'll ask you, and we won't leave you completely hanging. You don't have to do the whole 40 minutes that are left or 35 minutes left by yourself. We're here with you, but just go ahead as the Lord leads, and just start giving us a little bit of background about yourself.
Well, I've been on the been on the ministry since the mid 90s, 96, 95, 96. I was baptized in Branson in 2000, 15. It's been a wonderful ride. The Lord has really shown me a lot through the ministry. I'm ever grateful for the brothers. I've gotten to know the brothers pretty good. Really enjoyed our time in Branson a couple weekends ago. I came to the ministry through a co-worker of mine who just happened to be listening to shortwave one day, and he says, he's giving me recordings of Pastor Peters, and eventually I got a shortwave radio and I started listening to Pastor Peters, and I guess the rest is really history from there.
Okay. Well, Patrick, what made you consider deliverance?
Well, I started listening. I think it was probably about, Pastor Cox has been on Wednesday nights, I suppose, about 4 years now?
I believe it'll be 4 years in November.
Yeah, so it's about 4 years. I started listening to it, and I got his book, and I started reading it. I had like zero doubt when I first listened to Pastor Cox, and I got his book, and I did the self deliverance at home, because I knew, throughout my life, I opened a lot of doors. I had a lot of baggage. Note the word had. I was thinking about how could I describe deliverance, and one of the ways I could describe it is it's like being in prison for 54 years. And then one day the warden walks by and says, "Hey, why are you still here? You've been baptized 4 years ago. Your record's been wiped clean. It's time to get out. And there's no more guilt, no more shame. Well, what are you doing here? Didn't you get the memo?" I'm free. Pastor Cox, I know, and one of the things he says that after somebody gets delivered, or one of the things he asks after they get deliverance, "Do you feel lighter?" I'm like, "Man, do I feel lighter?" It's a relief. You carry that stuff around. Especially, the spirit of guilt that you can be baptized and washed clean by the water, but if you don't get rid of that guilt, you get held back. That guilt holds you back from your walk with the Lord. And I seem to be, in the last year or so, I seem to be stuck in my faith, and I wasn't seem to be growing. I was really struggling in my daily Bible reading. I'd realize that one day I'd look back and I'm about 2 weeks behind my Bible reading. I'm like, where did time go? And it's kind of being caught up in the world. And, the world, we're, such a materialistic society, or, our consumer, we're a consumer-sized society. And, we just allow things to get in our way, for sure. So, I knew something that was wrong. About a year ago, I talked to Brother Ralph down in Branson, and I brought up the fact about having atrial fibrillation, otherwise known as AFib, and about a year ago I wore a heart monitor for 30 days. You know, I was having these heart palpitations and, you know, things like that, extra beats. And so I go through all this stuff, you know, with the MRI of the heart, the cardiogram, and so forth and whatnot. And so after 30 days, the doctor looks at it and he says, well, there's nothing wrong with you. And there's physically nothing wrong with your heart, you know, but why you were having these symptoms, I don't know. And I'm thinking, well, you know, if it's medical science, can't figure it out. It's got to be leaning towards demonic activity. On the whole drive down to Branson, that was on my mind. You know, I have to have deliverance. I got to have deliverance. So it just so happens that on the Saturday after Saturday service, you know, Brother Chris says, "Hey, you know, once you come on down, some guys are getting together for prayer and prayer and worship." And so I went down there and just kind of walked in, and you know, there was a deliverance going on in the back room, you could see, and we're just kind of chit-chatting, and Brother Ralph goes, "You want deliverance?" I'm like, "Yep." And there was no question about it. I needed it. And if there's anybody listening tonight who've been thinking about it, well, you know, if you're thinking about it, you probably need it. I grew up in the 80s. You know, I knew what it was like. You know, there's a lot of doors and windows that I opened up.
Well, Patrick, I know it's only been a couple of weeks, but what are some of the changes you've been seeing over the last 2 weeks? I mean, how did you sleep that night?
Well, I slept like a rock. I definitely slept like a rock. You know, about a couple hours after deliverance, I went back to the room I could feel the presence of familiar spirits. I mean, it was this awful, awful feeling of dread. And it was this empty feeling. And I knew that, it wasn't right. It wasn't good. So I went through the steps, you know, after you get the paper and, you know, the steps to stay free, and I just turned to the Lord in prayer. You know, we do on the ministry. You know, I just went to Ephesians 6 and just started, I put on the full armor of God. And I used, with all power and authority granted to me by Jesus Christ, you know, and, you know, I took command of these spirits. I mean, you know, you need to leave. And I just felt this peace, and I think I just I just fell asleep. I remember my wife, they went out, and I was in the room by myself, and I think when they came back, I must have been in a praying position, you know, I had the Bible on me, and it was just this indescribable amount of peace that I felt.
Praise God. Pastor, when you were in ministry, did you feel those spirits come out? How'd that go?
That was quite the experience. I never heard sounds like that before. some were as subtle as a burp or a yawn or something like that, but there was definitely they fought their whole way out, but they came out, praise the Lord.
Amen.
But yeah, and I could was interesting with Brother Neil and Brother Sean when they were doing the deliverance, you know, they'd ask questions, and I could actually see the answers just kind of fade in, fade out, and then, you know, there was a part, because I had this enormous amount of guilt, carrying this enormous amount of guilt, and this be silent and just wait for the answer of the Lord, and all of a sudden I saw the word forgiven, and it was this, after all these years of carrying all this, it was gone, it was just, it's best I can describe it, it was awesome, and it was just awesome.
Praise God.
Well, I know, Patrick, you were some of the heavier manifestations that I've seen. There's a lot of coughing. I remember I came in and brought the trash can in for y'all. I don't know if you were if you were throwing up, but you were spitting something out. And there's a couple times they come in and check on you to make sure that everything was okay, because he was in that little sunroom. But it seemed like they had everything on in control. Do you remember anything specifically as they came against any specific spirit? Do you remember, or is it just kind of was all kind of went that way? Because I know that they talked about some guilt. I know they talked about that you dealt with a lot of guilt. I remember the brothers saying that.
Oh, what was that, Brother Ralph? You kind of broke up there.
I was just... sorry about that. I was just saying, if there was anything specific when they came against any specific spirit, do you remember any major releases on any specific spirit? Because I had asked them after it was after the deliverance, I asked them, it seemed like it was a little bit of a hard one, and they said they generally talked about you were holding in a lot of guilt, talked about possibly some inner healing on a friend that had died. But I just didn't know if there was anything specific that you remember that you want to mention. Any problems are on the problem list as they came and it came out, because that could be something that's affecting somebody else out there. But only talk about what you're comfortable about talking with. We don't want you to bring anything up that you're not comfortable with.
Well, I think we only got about 20 minutes left, so. Yeah, I was one of them that could have circled the entire list. I can't think of anything specific at the moment. I do know that there were certain spirits that I had got more of a reaction with. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did I did have a friend when we were 19 years old that had committed suicide. And you think after all these years that, you know, you wouldn't have an issue with it, but there definitely was. I mean, there was some closure I needed, you know, to have on that. As far as religion goes, you know, we were Catholic. I'm looking at the list now, and I'm looking at rebellion. You know, I refused to go to church from the age of 8 years old. I just knew something wasn't right. But you know, on Thursdays, all Catholic kids got out of school and to go to catechism class because the Catholic church was across the street. Well, I'd run the other way and I'd go hide out in the woods for 30 minutes. And then one day the priest caught me during recess and asked me why I hadn't been going to catechism and I haven't go to church, you know. I have a streak of rebellion, you know, disobedience and you know, bullheaded, you know, we are a rebellious house, us Israelites, you know, we didn't get into much witchcraft or the occult. We messed around with the Ouija board once, you know, so there wasn't a lot of witchcraft that I recall. You know, that we kind of saved that for last. I think I had a lot of resentment, you know, towards others. Another brother in Christ, you know, that I really needed to get over, and I have, you know, and I've, as a matter of fact, that particular brother in Christ, I talked to him yesterday, and we have a coworker that has stage 4 cancer, so we're gonna go together and pray over this other coworker of ours,
Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, getting past that unforgiveness with a brother in Christ, that may be the key to setting this man with cancer free.
Yeah.
You'll be going in with complete agreement. And, you know, Brother John and Richard were both talking about that towards the end of the prayer meeting. I caught the last 10-15 minutes of it. And they're right, that unforgiveness we harbor can really, really hold us in bondage. But something about we don't really think about is if we forgive that person, that allows the Lord to start working in their life as well, too. And so, in fact, we actually free that person up a lot.
Yeah, so true.
So praise the Lord on that. And that's typical there,
the
too.
Doors.
Yes, it is the biggest, one of the biggest of the doors there, that, and just not being born again. But that is, you know, that's not an atypical thing. You talk about having a friend who committed suicide so many years ago. That's quite a trauma that can be in our lives, and that would be part that would fall into the unresolved deaths. A lot of times we don't realize we have, and the Holy Spirit will bring it to our mind and be able to let that go. Because it is an awful thing when someone takes their own life, and, you know, you're not the first person I've heard bring that up, so I didn't really think that was still bothering me anymore. So, praise the Lord on that. And then when you talked about the familiar spirits when you get back to your room, there is a good possibility that it was the familiar spirits that are affecting your wife are trying to poke you with a stick and get back in. So hopefully your wife will consider ministry. And a lot of times our wives, when they see the change in us, they'll want to go ahead and go through with it.
So, well, Patrick, we still got a little more time here. Is there anything else you want to bring up?
Well, you know, we were talking earlier about the atrial fibrillation. You know, just today, this morning, you know, I was at work and I could feel my heart, if you ever have it, all of a sudden, a lot of times it just comes right out of the blue, and all of a sudden you'll get the palpitations, and I'm like, here we go again, and I just took control of it, and in the name of Jesus Christ, you heart palpitations,
yeah.
you atrial fibrillation, you need to go, in the name of Jesus Christ, at the count of three, one, two, three, I'm saying this, and I can just feel it coming out, okay, one, two, and about time is three, and all of a sudden, I'm gagging, and then three, it just comes out, and then immediately the palpitations stop. And there's this calm, and there's peace, and you just, praise God, praise Jesus, it makes me think of, with these tools from Pastor Cox, I was thinking about it today, and it's kind of like, as you're a kid, somebody give you a toolbox of old tools or something. They may have been a new toolbox, and you open up this box, and you're looking at these tools, and they may be old rusty ones, or they may be new ones, it takes time to figure out, you're looking at this crescent wrench, and like, boy, what's this tool for, you gotta learn that, hey, it's not a crescent hammer, it's a crescent wrench, and these screwdrivers, they're screwdrivers, they're not chisels, you gotta learn to use them properly, and then as you go along, you add to your toolbox, and you get these tools, and you get more confident with them. We talked about, using the words perish the thought. Perish the thought, perish the word. And I think it was Brother Chris down there, and he says, you can also use perish the image, if there's, someone of the female, persuasion, and with us guys, if there's one thing that we're guilty about is, we tend to look, and he says, perish the image, so I found that working in a welding shop, I like to think that, people in the welding shop, they use words that make a longshoreman blush, that's a lot typical of a welding shop, and that's something that I've really struggled with, over the years, and I know I've talked to other people, other brothers that have worked that also work in the welding shop, and he said, you get caught up in that, and we're going to be held accountable for every word that comes out of our mouth. So, so perish the word, perish the thought has really, really has taken on a new meaning for me. It's really come in handy.
That's awesome. And of course, there can be a spirit of profanity that's on the list, you know, and we run into that quite a bit. It's just another spirit that comes to torment and harass and all that. So that might be something you can think about addressing there, Pastor.
Well, Patrick, one thing you can think about, too, is when you go to work, you can start binding that spirit of profanity that's in everybody around them. And bind it and command it to be silent and not then forbid the enemy to operate through your coworkers and their language against you.
And that's good.
You know, that works well, too. But that perish the thought. You know, I had talked to a few people about that during the weekend in Branson, and they just weren't ready for ministry. For whatever reason, they weren't quite ready, but I was able to talk to them about perish of thought, and I don't remember who it was, but someone heard me talking to somebody about that, and he said, my grandma used to say that. My grandma used to say that all the time. I remember she'd tell us perish of thought whenever we would say something that we shouldn't be saying.
Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly.
That was just awesome to hear. I don't remember who told me that, but they said that, and that was just that is such a powerful tool. I don't even know if that Pastor, is that on the website?
Yes, it is. Under commands against the enemy under ministry tools.
Yes. Okay. So if you're not sure what that is, go to deliveranceusa.com. You go into the ministry tools, commands to use on the enemy. But when our thoughts come, it's a simple prayer that puts you in a covenant with Jesus that when you realize those words are there, you're going to say three simple words, and those are going to extinguish the thought by applying the blood of Jesus to it. And I haven't met anyone who uses it that said, nah, it doesn't work. It works if you use it. It works
if
you use it. Yes.
Very scriptural to cast down those thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
2 Corinthians 4:10 and all.
Yes, it is.
Cast down those thoughts.
And taking your thoughts captive. And part of taking your thoughts captive is telling the enemy to get out. To get out. So it was really encouraging to hear that man. I wish I remember who it was. But he had said, my grandma used to say that. My grandma used to say that. So... praise the Lord on that, but that is a tool out there, and it's amazed me how many people I talked to that had ministry weren't applying that. And I said, if you start applying that, you'll see that it'll help a tool to help maintain it. And that's the big thing there. And I encourage you as well, Patrick, is deliverance is not a one-time fix. It is a tool that the Lord has given us to help cast out those spirits that are affecting us, but you still have to maintain your deliverance. You can't overhaul a vehicle and then never change the oil, never take care of the air filter, change the tires, anything like that. Expect that car to last forever. You have to maintain your overhaul. And so it's really, really important, because if you don't maintain it, before you know it, familiar spirits that are affecting other people, the doors will be open, and you're just right back in the same state as before. So so just remember that out there, all that's gone through deliverance, you've really got to maintain it. That's why they give out what they call the yellow sheet in Oklahoma City. I'm sure they gave you the sheet. It probably wasn't yellow, but it was photocopied. But it's real important to use those things, and there's 9 steps to maintain your freedom, and those are 9 steps of godly living. So, Patrick, we're getting close to the end of the program here. Is there anything final you'd like to say?
Well, you know what? You know, I have been suffering. You know, I've always had this back issue. And I remember Pastor Cox talking about this, you know, that the spirits kind of move around in your body. And I've always had, it's either my low back, my mid back, or my shoulders, my neck. And it seems like there's this endless cycle. And the other day, I'm like, you know what? My back hasn't hurt. And it's funny because, you know, when it's gone, you know, when you lose something, you know, it's out of sight, out of mind. And it's like, you know what? I actually had to remind myself, you know what? You know, your back isn't hurting. And
praise God.
I'm like, I'm like, praise the Lord, you know.
Yeah. Yes, hallelujah. Yeah.
Yeah.
We, our ministers have all learned to do that, and it's a normal Christianity again, and it seems like so many of the people that come for ministry do have back problems, and as they get their Jesus overhaul, the problems in the back are gone too.
That's right.
Did they do the limb check on you?
Yes. And
well, that's probably what helped.
And I had. Yep. And I was a little short in one leg, and I knew that. And all of a sudden, I was just sitting there, and all of a sudden, I could feel my leg, you know, just kind of stretching out. And
praise God.
I mean, it works. I mean, if anyone has, you know, like I said, if anybody has been kind of thinking about it, well, you just run, don't walk, to go see Pastor Cox or Brother Ralph. You know, you'll I guess if there was one regret I have is not doing it sooner.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've all come from there. We all agree it would be better if we'd known this earlier in our lives.
Sure.
Well, we're stiff-necked Israelites.
That's right. And some of us, our necks are stiffer than others, so...
That's right. Well, Patrick, it's been a pleasure having you come on the radio. Look forward to any other testimonies you have in the future. You can let me know.
Yes.
If you can find, feel free to text me. And thank you for coming on this evening. And God bless, brother.
Yes, God bless.
God bless you, Ralph. God bless you, Pastor Cox.
Yes.
And thanks for having me on.
Great to have you. Great testimony.
Well, another one who overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of his testimony. Again, that's deliveranceusa.com. If you have any questions, if any need for any of the tools there, or doing the supernatural works of Jesus by Pastor Cox, you can obtain that by calling Richard at the office, 307-742-7582. And I handed a couple of your books out at Branson. I asked her if they had it. They said no. I went over and put the money in the box, handed it to them, and said, here, now use it. And we helped talk to a couple of brothers in Christ and help them understand that they have the authority. And that's the key right there. You have to remember it. You have the authority. You have the authority. Luke 10:19. It was given to you to tread upon serpents and scorpions over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall harm you. You have the authority given out in the Great Commission that in my name they will do these things. And one of them is cast out demons, heal the sick, raise the dead. These things is the authority that we have as Christians. It's our gift. We ought to use it. That was my message. It's your gift. Why don't you use it? That gift was given to us as signs and wonders to help take this kingdom for our Lord Jesus Christ. And I just want to remind everybody out there that you have the same authority that was given to those men, those 12 men on the day of Pentecost, the same authority that Pastor Cox has, the same authority that I have. The only difference to this is we just have a little bit more experience in using that. So I encourage you out there to exercise your authority, take dominion over your life, take dominion over your family's life, and take dominion over your communities. And we thank everybody for joining us this evening. Pastor, good to hear from you again. God bless, and we'll see you next week.
Yes, God bless everybody.
Luke chapter 10, verse 19.
I have given you authority.